way!
Still one of the funkiest Rider themes ever. Welcome back to another episode of Rider Break, the official podcast of EgoDevil.com. I'm your host, EgoDevil, and this is episode 4, which is coming out about a month after episode 3, but what else is new? So let's get to it. As you can probably tell from the theme song, this is the special Ryuki retrospective episode, where I'll talk a little bit about Kamen Rider Ryuki, which turns 10 years old this year. And particularly, I want to talk, reminisce, if you will, a little bit about the fan reaction that the show had when it was first announced and when it was on, which was kind of a big turning point for me, personally, as a fan. But we'll get to that in a bit. First, I just want to talk a little bit about the last few weeks of Forze. I did a HAU radio episode a few weeks ago where we went over the first half of the series, so I already covered a lot of the last few episodes that I'll be talking about here. You know, most of the major points and things like that, so I'm just going to touch on a few things that I forgot to mention or didn't get around to, and talk a little bit about the episodes that aired after we recorded that. Okay, the last episode that I think I covered on Rider Break was 23 had just aired. That was the first part of the Cygnus Zodiac story. And that was pretty good, and the second half in 24 was a good wrap-up. I like the whole idea of the Switch giving the kid sort of a dual personality, like there's this good side and this bad side. I'm not really sure what was going on with the club there, or the cult, actually, with the ballerina and everything. I'm not sure if they were possessed or kind of being mind-controlled or something, or they were just stupid. I don't really know. They kind of glossed over that at the end, just that it seemed like they were all sort of, you know, they really wanted this kid to turn into the monster, and then they were shocked, mind you, when it turns out he's an evil bastard. So, go figure. The next two, 25, 26, that was a really good story dealing with Daimonji and Mew, who have sort of been in the background for most of the show after their kind of introductory arcs. They haven't been doing a whole lot other than usual support kind of things that, like, everyone else does. So it was nice to see them get a little spotlight. One thing I particularly liked about this story, something that happened in 26, is the scene where Daimonji punches Forze and knocks him over, but we see that he's got bloody knuckles. And I really like that. Anytime that they show how strong the Riders are, kind of how superhuman they are, I was always a fan of that in the old shows when they'd kind of have, you know, I can't control my own strength or something. Hongo's ripping off faucet heads, and then, of course, there's that episode of V3 towards the end where Kazami, he literally, like, can't control his strength anymore, and he pulls a doorknob off and just wrecks a door trying to get in and stuff like that. Or, you know, even when they're fighting, I know there's a V3 episode, I think with Missile Gecko, where they're, like, punching each other so hard, and they're punching concrete walls and just smashing everything up. You know, anytime they do stuff like that, that just shows how powerful these guys are. And you know, even you can still do that with the newer riders too. I mean, even if they're not cyborgs and all that, even if they're just guys in superpowered suits or some other kind of superhuman, you can show just how strong they are when they're riders. You know, how far above human level they've reached, basically. So that was cool. I mean, if it was up to me, I probably actually would have just had Forza. He doesn't even get knocked over. He just stands there. Daimonji punches him. He looks down. His hand is like this complete pulp. He's like, "No!" Maybe not, but that probably wouldn't have. They wouldn't have been able to show that on Sunday morning television. But that was pretty cool. Although to counteract that, actually, a couple episodes later in 29, we have the girl who practices Aikido, and she's able to knock Forze flat on his back, pretty much. Which I don't know. I mean, I know it's a kind of a funny bit, but I really like it when they sort of take a little bit seriously anyway, just how superhuman the riders are, even if they are just using man-made technology or something like that. There should always be this kind of element of not necessarily like fear to them, but I don't know. It's hard to explain, but I always sort of like the idea that if the heroes, in their own way, are actually kind of like the scariest character in the show, because if they were bad guys, they'd be just these unstoppable monsters. But the fact that they are the good guys makes things like this, you know, it makes them into dramatic moments just to show how powerful these guys are, and that they have this great power that in lesser hands would be used for evil, as we see with the bad guys. But I don't know, it's kind of hard to explain, but I dig scenes like that where, you know, they remember that the riders are superhuman. So like when, you know, Forze gets punched in the face there, it's gonna do damage. You know, like how in Kamen Rider Spirits, actually, in the first chapter with X, a guy punches him in the face and like breaks his hand. I thought that was pretty awesome. So then 27-28, that great story with Cancer, who was a fantastic villain. I just love how like crazy he was, and he really pushes Ryusei to his limits. Like really just tries to drive him up the wall, and he's doing some pretty demented stuff too, with cutting the rings and all that. That was cool. Meteor Storm, we talked about on HJU Radio, and I've gotten more used to it now. I mean, I still think the whole thing with the top is a bit weird for the guy, the writer who was, you know, predominantly kind of based around martial arts and hand-to-hand combat and stuff like that, and then suddenly he gets this super gimmicky toy. But yeah, I kind of dig it, and I'm gonna be buying the figure arts when that comes out. It looks really cool. 29-30, that was a good one. It really has the feeling of kind of a new start, because it's a new school year and we're introduced to new characters who we'll probably never see again. But what it does, a lot of stuff with the character of Osugi, who up to this point had really just kind of been comic relief. And I was almost kind of prepared to write him off and just say like he's the show's least important character, because everybody in the show, to some degree, other than like the main villain, Red-eyed dude, and maybe some of the other Zodiacs, other than them, everybody's kind of comic relief at some point. So having a character who is exclusively comic relief in this show is almost a little redundant. But I was actually really surprised what they did with him, having him go into the rabbit hatch there. And you know, it's not like he just gets knocked out at the end of the episode and forgets everything or mind wiped or something like that. I mean, he actually becomes part of the club, which is really cool. And hopefully they're gonna do something with that and kind of build him up a bit more. Because if you think about it, I mean, the whole connection that he had with Scorpio Zodiarts, tenuous as it was, you could really get some dramatic stuff out of that, I think, if you wanted to. I don't know if the writers will go down that path or not, but we'll just have to wait and see. And I really love the fights a lot in that one. Forze using the gyro and Gatling switches was really cool. Turned into the helicopter gunship. And the net switch was interesting. I thought it was a bit funny that that's how he defeats this enemy that can turn into a swarm of smaller insects, is he uses the net, which has all these holes in it and everything. But I guess they got around that with the whole laser net kind of image idea, which is neat. And I really love the end of the episode with the kids, where they're like, "Yeah, someday you can join the Rider Club too." And I thought Gentaro should have taken them aside and been like, "Well, you see, you really got to have anagram names to join our club, so better luck next time." 31-32, really good. Really good story. Great villain with the Aries Zodiac we finally see. And it was nice that the show, you know, as silly and goofy as this show can be, it knows when to get serious, I think. And it got pretty serious in these two. I mean, the main hero died, basically. I thought they were going to do some sort of fake out where it was just like a punch that would put him into unconsciousness or something like that, or put into a coma. But, I mean, he pretty much was dead and then revived by the new toy. But there you go. Good fight between Forze and Meteor, finally. I'm not sure if I'd call it, like, the greatest rider fight ever. I mean, that's what I know some people... I guess some people really dug it. I thought it was pretty good, but it's very it came across as very one-sided to me. Like, it really is. Meteor comes out of nowhere, just attacks the heck out of Forze, and kills him with the five fingers of the doom there. It was pretty good. I like that. I like all the development that they had for the character of Ryusei in these. I mean, because they've been dragging out the whole secret identity thing for a long time, and I didn't mind it so much. I know some other people were getting kind of tired of it, but I like that, you know, if they were going to end that storyline anyway, or you know, take it to the next level, the way they went about it was really cool. Like I said, Aries Zodiac was really interesting. Neat powers. I'm kind of amazed that the whole school just, like, bowed down to his will like that, and you know, I mean, don't these kids have to go home? Like, what do they tell their parents? I don't know. Apparently he's played by the same actor who was Liangle in Decade's Blade World, which is pretty neat. I had to look that up afterwards, because I would not have known watching the show. He looks so different. And then, of course, we have Cosmic States, who debuts in 32, and yeah, Cosmic States is an interesting one. It's hard to explain. Like, everything about that scene, that whole battle scene, was completely ridiculous, but it was also completely awesome. Like, I could not stop smiling during that whole scene where he's got this big rocket sword, and he's got the freezing missiles, and the voices that are coming out of the sword, and you know, he goes through a wormhole warp drive thing into space to kill the guy. And it really did. At first, I thought he actually killed Ares. I mean, he pretty much blew up, and somehow, amazingly, the guy survives and is now in a coma or whatever. But that was just a really crazy fight scene. But it was a lot of fun. And as for the design, I mean, like I've said before, you know, as long as your main rider's default design is like simple enough and easy enough for kids to draw and easy enough to remember, you can go completely nuts after that, and they really do with this one. I mean, it's a pretty wacky, far-out design with the point on his head and everything and the wings, but I like it. And, you know, as always, I will inevitably get used to it and buy the toys and all that, so there you go. That's Forze. At the time that I'm recording this, 33 has aired and 34 is airing... probably right now, actually. So I'm going to hold off on those until a future podcast. I just wanted to cover these ones for now. But, you know, just get up to speed anyway. So there you go. All right. And with that, we segue into the main topic, which is Kamen Rider Ryuki, which, as I mentioned, is now 10 years old. And I cannot believe that, because I remember back when Ryuki was new. I was in high school. And, yeah, that feels like a lifetime ago. I really cannot believe that it's actually been 10 years, but it is weird to think about things like that, like how Shin Kamen Rider is now 20 years old, Z-Cross, at least in magazine form, is 30 years old. Yeah, it's pretty weird, but there you go. So basically what this is going to be is not exactly a comprehensive series overview or anything like that. I mean, I'll talk a little bit about how I feel about Ryuki the TV series, but what I really wanted to do was get into what it was actually like 10 years ago, at least from my recollection, what the reaction to Ryuki was, because Ryuki is kind of a landmark show in terms of what it did for Kamen Rider and what it did for Kamen Rider fans. So, you know, before I get into all this, I should really kind of start by saying that this is my own personal, you know, this is based on my own personal experience. This is what I remember This is, you know, these are my kind of opinions on a lot of things. So for some people, you know, if they were around in 2002 watching Kamen Rider, and it might have been completely different because they might have not been on the same forums I was, or, you know, reading the same sites or anything like that. So I don't know. Yeah, maybe not. Maybe you'll, you know, maybe you were around then. You'll be listening to this and be like, "Yes, I remember all that exactly." Or you might be saying, "What the hell is this guy talking about?" I don't know, but this is just my own personal recollection of what it was like then. So, I guess to start off, I went on to Twitter a few weeks ago, and I asked people when they saw Ryuki. You know, did they see it when it was first on, or when did they watch it in kind of when did they watch it in relation to other variety series? You know, was it their first one? Things like that. And thank you to everyone who responded, by the way. For the most part, most of the responses I got, people didn't watch it when it was first on, but they watched it maybe a couple years later, or watched it more recently, like last year or 2 years ago, or whatever. A lot of people got into it before or after Dragon Knight, which was a couple years ago now. And you know, and there were some people who watched it in 2002, so a real mixed range. But I basically just wanted to know in advance how many people came into Ryuki after it had already been around and all that, because I feel like in general the reaction, the kind of the fan reaction to Ryuki, has mellowed a lot since it was first on. I mean, nowadays I think everyone kind of accepts, you know, Ryuki for what it is. They're like, yeah, that was the show between Agito and Fize, and you know, it was a pretty good show, or you know, this could have been done better, or I really liked this, or whatever. I mean, it in general, like, fans have really kind of cooled off on that one. Much like with Shin Kamen Rider, when that first came out, man, yeah, the reaction was all over the map. And now I think everyone kind of just regards it as like, oh yeah, there was that weird movie. Yeah, but you know, cool ideas, and a lot of people like Shin. I like Shin a lot. I mean, the character anyway. You know, and there's a lot of stuff about the movie I like too, but that's another podcast that I'll get to someday. Or even Hibiki. I mean, Hibiki, when it was first on, was pretty divisive. Now, like in the last couple of years, I mean, a ton of people have come out saying like it's their favorite Rider series, or at least the first half anyway, they think is brilliant. And you know, that's pretty cool, because when I was first on, I remember some people really dug it, but a lot of people really didn't care for it, and it kind of got just ignored, I think. You know, to some degree, people just sort of just didn't care about that one. And then when Kabuto was announced, they're like, you know, this is the return of Kamen Rider. And yeah, Kabuto, that's another story, but there you go. So I think that always happens. That happens with when anytime you have a controversial series, fan reaction will, you know, even if it's pretty intense at first, it'll cool off after a while. Like, I predict in a couple of years from now, nobody's gonna care about what a mess the decade ending was. I mean, you know, I enjoy Decade, and but I'll admit that it the end in particular, with the whole cliffhanger and then the movie war and all that, not one of the finer moments of the franchise. But at the same time, you know, it's whatever. You know, I still enjoyed it. I dug the movies. I like watching those episodes over again. But I do remember, like, the day that the Decade finale aired on TV, and people were just outraged. Some people were just screaming betrayal. And, you know, a couple of years from now, I think people will just kind of look back on it and be like, yeah, that was pretty goofy, but whatever. I mean, already, I think people have started to cool off on that one. There are some people out there still that, like, can't even bear to look at Decade. They're like, this represents everything that I hate, you know, but whatever. I mean, that's fans for you. But to get back to Ryuki, yeah, the reaction to it in the years since has cooled down a bit. But when it was first out, I remember it being a pretty big deal. And this is kind of like my story, I guess, of my recollection of what that was like and how it affected me and stuff like that. So, yeah, so to get back to the Twitter thing, what I really just kind of wanted to know is how many people would be familiar with 2002 era fandom anyway, just so I know how much backstory to get into, because it sounds like a lot. So I guess where I should really start is with the general kind of atmosphere of the time of the early 2000s, because I mean, that's when I really got serious in sort of like online tokusatsu Kamen Rider fandom and all that was at the end of the 90s, like 98, 99, really around 2000. That's when I launched my website, back when it was GeoCities. And there were a couple forums for Kamen Rider fans. I mean, it wasn't what it was now. It is, especially since Ryuki, it has just exploded every year, every month, more and more people joining up, which, you know, it's great. But back then, it wasn't what it is now. I mean, there was a decent sized fan base. I mean, there were plenty of sites, plenty of forums, things like that. But it wasn't what it was now. And I would certainly argue that back then, it was much easier to find people talking about Godzilla or Ultraman, because they were still, you know, they had movies coming out regularly, and or in Ultraman's case, TV series. And because this was, you know, back in 2002 when Ryuki was on, I think Cosmos had just ended, and maybe it was before Nexus, I can't remember exactly. But, you know, it was still like Ultraman was still considered kind of like a really, you know, relevant thing. And I mean, it's still relevant now, but at the same time, I think, when people, you know, you see a lot of people who say, how come nobody talks about Ultraman anymore? You know, where's all the Ultraman love? It really has to do with the fact that there's no ongoing series. You know, you got the movies and stuff, but I mean, you really got to have a show that's going year after year, like Sentai had and like Rider has now had for years, to really kind of get this ongoing discussion every year after year of people who are like really excited to see this year's show and everything like that. So, you know, not to go off on too much of a tangent, but I really hope one of these days Ultraman just comes back roaring like it did in the mid-90s with Tiga Dynagaia, because that was a great time to be an Ultraman fan. You know, and again, with Nexus and Max and Mebius, you know, great shows there. But that's besides the point. But, you know, for a Rider fan, the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, up until Kuga, you know, it was a good time, but yeah, you really didn't have that much discussion. I mean, it was mostly based around the old shows, you know, people who had grown up on Black, people who had grown up on V3, seen a lot of the other series. I mean, everyone, for the most part, seemed pretty familiar with all the old shows back then, which is becoming more and more of a rarity now. I mean, you know, thanks to the fine efforts of, you know, folks who are fan-subbing them. You know, you got a lot more people who are actually talking about the older Riders. But there was a period where, especially when Ryuki, in the kind of the post-Ryuki years anyway, the early 2000s, and, you know, up to before the kind of the big comeback in All Riders versus Die Shocker and stuff like that, where there wasn't a whole lot of talk about the old Riders, really. Not that I would remember. So yeah, but anyway, like, you know, Kuga came along and that went over well. It had criticism in the day, I remember, and it's funny to look back now, or to think back at least, on the criticism of Kuga in 2000, because it's one of those, like, the more things change, the more they stay the same kind of thing, where, you know, I remember when Kuga first came out, it took a lot of heat for being too commercial. People said, you know, oh, they're just trying to sell toys, and he's got too many forms and too many toys and gimmicks and stuff, and too many bikes. That was the big one, is that Kuga had too many bikes. I've never been able to get over that, because, well, you know, nowadays we complain that the riders don't use their bikes enough. Back then it's like, you know, what the hell, this guy's got 4 bikes, 5 bikes, what's, you know, I mean, I guess if you count the Gorum attachments as bikes, and some people do, you know, separate bikes, then there you go. But on the whole, I think it went over pretty well, and people dug it, and people liked Agito. I do remember the very first review I ever saw of Agito was just tearing it to bits, which is really funny to think about now, because a lot of people consider Agito, you know, like a great show, like one of the best, usually. I certainly, it's of the Heisei series anyway, it's still one of my favorites. It's really good. I love that show. But I love them all, of course. But yeah, you know, the first two went over pretty well. And then Ryuki came along. And the first glimpse we got of Ryuki was probably near the end of 2001, maybe 2002. I can't remember, because the thing is, at least, you know, from my experience, it wasn't until Ryuki that you really got the crazy rumors every year. You know, next year's show is going to be this, like months in advance, and leaked pics and Photoshop pics and things like that. I mean, I don't remember that with Kuga and Agito much. I don't think I don't think we saw Agito until like the TV Coon issue came out that showed the blacked out drawings of him and Gills in G3. Like, I don't remember anything about it in advance. I remember like another Agito being a complete surprise. Like, I know that he, like, pictures of him appeared online when the episode aired in Japan, but I don't think we knew about him at all in advance, and like that was really exciting, I remember. And it was even that way with some of the guys in Ryuki too. Like, I remember when Scissors first came out. I mean, they had, you know, in the early promotional stuff for Ryuki, they had shown Ryuki, Knight, and Zolda, but nobody else. So then when Scissors was on the show, it was like, holy smokes, who is this guy? Of course, then he only lasted two episodes, but not that that mattered because I still love him. But anyway, the very first picture of Ryuki was, again, I think it was in TV Coon or TV Magazine. I can't remember now, but it was an illustration that showed Ryuki kind of all in the shadows, and his eyes are glowing, and he's got Drag Rider behind him. And when that got online, the reaction to it was really all over the place. Some people thought it looked cool, other people hated it. They're like, what is up with this guy with this grill on his eyes and this funny arm, and what's this dragon thing? You know, what have they done to Kamen Rider? People didn't like the whole mirror aspect of it or the cards. I mean, the more information that came out, like, I remember when the first live action photos came out a few months later, probably weeks or months, I can't remember now, but that showed, like, you know, the promotional stuff that had Ryuki and Knight, and people saw the Knight design and they're like, what is this? This isn't Kamen Rider, what the hell? Which again is funny to think about now because a lot of people consider Knight one of the best designs in Ryuki. But it really provoked a pretty mixed reaction. I mean, more so than I think any show before it, other than like Shin Kamen Rider. And you know, truth be told, I wasn't online when Shin came out. That was still kind of back in the days when most of my information came through like what people were writing in fanzines and stuff like that. And I remember some really interesting articles about Shin. But yeah, for Ryuki, I mean, it was really all over the place. Because, you know, like with Kuga Nagito, people had been like, well, this is still Kamen Rider. I mean, I don't like the commercial direction of it, or I don't like them hawking all the toys, or, you know, this kind of like J-drama stuff they're doing. But, you know, it's still Kamen Rider. Whereas with Ryuki, people were like, this is not Kamen Rider anymore. This is a complete betrayal of everything. Just really silly stuff. But yeah, that was kind of the first reaction that I remember from fans. And this is on, like, I'm remembering what sites I was around on at the time, and some of them were like the Yahoo Kamen Rider Club, which still exists, but if you go to it now, I think for the past couple of years it's been nothing but spam bots. Like, I think that was abandoned a long time ago, along with the whole Yahoo groups, Yahoo Club thing. You know, some other sites that I don't even know if they're still around, like Hero Songs. Who remembers Hero Songs? V3 Forum is a place I used to go to a lot, and that's another one that's kind of died, sadly. Which is too bad, because the guy who runs it, or runs the site anyway, the V3 homepage is really cool. Yeah, and there were a couple others. I can't remember. I used to be on a lot more forums back then. Like, these days, I mostly just like Henshin Justice, and that's pretty much it, other than my own site, you know, and Twitter and junk like that. But those didn't exist back then, so there you go. But I think the real breaking point for some people. I mean, a lot of people had seen the first Ryuki designs and been like, I don't know about this, you know, this doesn't look like Kamen Rider to me. But the real breaking point was when, I can't remember exactly who said it. I want to say that it was the producer, who would be Shirakura, who is still working on Kamen Rider today, doing a lot of the crossover movies and stuff, and is kind of known for inflammatory statements. So I don't know. I think it was probably him. But this comment came out that somebody translated, and I don't know how accurately they translated or not. You know, this was back in the days when it was a lot harder to find actual sources, and you know, you kind of relied on hearsay a lot of the time. But this comment came out in this like translated article where I believe he said something like, "We're, you know, with this show, we're gonna tear down the meaning of the Kamen Rider name and completely reinvent it. You know, no longer is Kamen Rider gonna be synonymous with Champions of Justice and all that." And some people just flipped, like they couldn't believe it. They're like, "What? It, you know, that's it, no more." And you know, some people really did act like this show was not a Kamen Rider show anymore, and they didn't treat it as such. You know, if they had a web page that talked about Kamen Rider, they're like, I'm not going to talk about Ryuki. It doesn't exist. You know, la la la. Not going to listen. Because yeah, that was the straw that broke the camel's back for some people, was this idea of having evil riders and riders that aren't heroes and changing what Kamen Rider means and all that. Because yeah, I mean, it's pretty hard to deny that Ryuki is the show really where Kamen Rider goes from being this title that, you know, directly refers to basically it's shorthand for heroes of the show. You know, every show up to that point, the heroes are called Kamen Riders, basically. And in Ryuki, it really just goes to, this is the name for these superpowered beings. Like, anybody who has a card deck and gets this armored state in the mirror world, they are a Kamen Rider. You know, maybe with the exception of like G4, I would actually argue that G4 in the Agito movie, he's an interesting case, and actually that's another tangent like I should really save for another time, because I could go on about how I think the character G4, more than any other rider, I think, at least in the early like 2000s, you know, the evil riders like Cut, or not evil necessarily, but like Gray Area, or you know, Jerk Riders, or whatever you want to call them, like characters like, you know, Oja, Kaiza, the other guys in Ryuki, stuff like that. More than any of them, I think G4 is really kind of stretching the whole idea of like what a Kamen Rider is, because of the fact that he's basically a soldier who follows orders, and that to me is kind of so counter to what Kamen Rider had always been about, which is very anti-authority, very, you know, little guy versus the big man sort of thing. Like, because that's what the enemies in Kamen Rider are, really, is they are the big evil force that in some way wants to control the world, either like literally take it over or control people through fear somehow. You know, like in Kugan Agito, that's really what the bad guys are doing, is they're killing people, but they're also trying to, in a way, control them through the fear that they spread by killing people, or by, you know, killing these people who are going to turn to Agito, stuff like that. So to me, that's what, you know, the writers have always kind of represented, this almost like anarchist point of view in a way. You know, I mean, on the one hand, they are trying to uphold like good and truth and stuff like that, but at the same time, they're doing it in this vigilante way, and you know, doing it in their own method, and really sticking it to this bigger, badder enemy. And you know, and then in the case of a character like G4, I mean, he's got his own motivation, yeah, but at the same time, he's really kind of just following orders the whole movie. I mean, he's in a way that G3 wasn't. That's the interesting contrast between them. In G3, he's working with the police and everything, but he's got free will. I mean, he makes his own decisions, and you know, he breaks rules, and it gets him in trouble. But you know, and Anna Ozawa too. I mean, she has initiative, like self-initiative and stuff like that, and that's sort of the contrasting point, I guess, of those characters versus the characters in the G4 movie. But that's a whole nother topic. But yeah, but you could say that with, you know, if the kind of the seed was planted with Agito, then with Ryuki, that's where it really kind of bloomed, in this whole idea of, just because you're a Kamen Rider, you're not necessarily a hero. That's what I think, that's the point of contention anyway. All right, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, more talking about Ryuki, sort of. Okay, we're back. So yeah, after that comment, and as the show finally actually started up and the main plot became very apparent early on, you really started to see this divide between people who loved the show and people who hated it. And Kuga and Agito had brought in a lot of new Rider fans. I mean, especially other Tokusatsu fans, like people who had just been watching Sentai or just been watching Ultraman. You know, a new Rider show comes on, they're like, hey, maybe I'll check this out. But especially with Ryuki, there was just kind of this big explosion suddenly of people coming in. I don't know from where, honestly. I mean, maybe like anime fans or something like that, or just people checking out something or other, and somehow they, found out about Ryuki. And I don't know the whole story there, because, I'm telling this from the perspective of someone who was a Kamen Rider fan up to that point. But, I do know that a lot of people, for a lot of people, Ryuki was their first show, and they got into it through Ryuki. And you kind of had this conflict, I think, between old fans and new fans to an extent. So yeah, I mean, I don't mean to overgeneralize. I keep saying, people thought this, people thought that. I mean, a lot of people did, but not everyone. I mean, there were people that loved Ryuki. There were people that hated Ryuki. It's hard to kind of separate who was who and stuff like that. But I do remember that more than any other show, Ryuki really provoked a pretty wide reaction, and there was a real divide between the reactions. Like, I remember some people, like I said, didn't even want to think of Ryuki as a Rider series. I remember one comment, some guy was like, yeah, my friend, he'll only watch Ryuki because it's got mechs in it. Like, that's the only re that's how he measures quality, is that it has mechs in it. The other Rider shows, no mechs, he's not going to watch them. But Ryuki has mechs, so there you go. Make of that what you will. So yeah, you did have a lot of people coming in and enjoying the show. And like I said, Ryuki was really kind of where, at least from my memory, where spoilers and rumors and stuff like that started kind of going a bit nutty. Because up to then, I don't remember a whole lot of crazy rumors like we're kind of used to now. Every year, months in advance, we wait for the name to be registered and stuff like that, and then the first pics start coming out and the photoshops and all that crazy stuff. But back then, I don't remember a whole lot of it until Ryuki. Ryuki is where it really like completely exploded. And my favorite one, I actually had to dig deep on the internet and find some of the stuff, but I did, and I will now read it for your enjoyment. These are some of the rumors that people had posted on. This was the Yahoo Kamen Rider Club back in 2002. Names withheld to protect the innocents, although I highly doubt any of these people are still around or still care or even remember any of this stuff. But here we go. Here's some of my favorite ones. All right, there's a guy who said, a friend of mine in Indonesia claimed that he had info that was directly translated from some books in Japan. He won't tell me what the books are. Gotta love that. He said that it is true that there will be two girl riders. One is coming from England, and the other is Shiro Kanzaki's girlfriend. Shiro's girlfriend decided to become a Kamen Rider because she wants to meet Shiro again. There's also a kid rider. And the final rider, the 13th rider, is Shiro Kanzaki himself. He will confront the strongest among all other 12 riders right before the final door. Kamen Rider Guy and Raya will be beaten by the new Kamen Rider King Snake. Rider King Snake will then have their power and become one of the strongest. Fortunately, somehow, Kamen Rider Knight will kill him, perhaps to avenge Raya's death and absorb all his power. By doing so, Knight will change his form into Knight 2. In the movie that will be released around August, Ryuki will have his second form. There will be some riders that will show up there too. Some of them might be dead also. I think either Ryuki or Knight, must be Ryuki because the show was named after him, will be the last rider and the strongest among riders, and he will fight against Shiro Kanzaki, who is also a Kamen Rider. Okay, interesting. I certainly would have loved to have seen those books, whatever they are, the non-existent. Anyway, but yeah, it's funny how some of that stuff actually did turn out to be true. Now, I think when this was posted was around the time we had already seen Oja and Raya and Guy, because I remember when Raya and Guy were first shown in the magazines and stuff. First of all, everybody thought that Raya was a girl because he was, pink magenta or whatever color you think he is. And Oja was shown at the same time as them, and like within the same issue of TV Coon or TV Magazine. I think I was getting TV Magazine at that point, but I might have gotten a TV Coon now and then. Like within the same issue that they're all introduced, they showed you that Oja was going to get their powers and, you know, be able to create genocide out of the other monsters. So those guys were basically dead men walking. Like from the moment they were introduced, we knew they were going to die and he was going to get their powers. So there you go. The whole thing with Kanzaki being a rider, I mean, that kind of turned out to be true, sort of, with Odin, who's a really complicated character. You know, if you've seen Ryuki, then you know the story there. I mean, I always thought that, to me, it would have made the most sense if they just had it where Kanzaki is Odin, because it just made a lot of sense. I mean, they kind of have the similar goals. Odin's already, he's always telling everybody to fight each other and all that, and he's working directly for Kanzaki, basically. And I don't know, I kind of like the whole idea that, you know, for all his power as being this master chess player manipulator guy who can walk in and out of mirrors and control the monsters and controls the riders to an extent, stuff like that, Kanzaki Shiro, I think it would have been really cool if, you know, ultimately he himself has to be a rider too. Like that, you know, that's kind of the price he pays for having all this power, is that he has got to be part of the game too, and he could lose just as easily as anybody else. I mean, he cheats a bit by giving himself the best rider powers, but at the same time, he could be killed. And, you know, he has to fight the final guy, and if he loses, that's, you know, sucks to be him. I kind of always wish they had gone that route instead of what they actually did, which is a little confusing. I mean, to a degree, Kanzaki is still Odin, but it's really complicated. And then there's all that baloney with the TV Coon Deluxe book where they have this picture where he's giving the Odin deck to some like bum on the street, and the idea is supposed to be there's multiple Odins, and I don't know. I was never really a big fan of that. I just thought it would have made the most sense if, you know, it was exactly what it looked like in the show most of the time. You know, you see him pull the Odin deck out of his pocket, and it's like, oh, he's going to be Odin. And then when you get to the final episode, it's not quite that, but whatever. The two female riders thing is interesting. I wonder what the story was with the one who comes from England. And of course, you know, King Snake is Oja. Literally, that's what Oja means. But I just like that whole description where somehow Knight would kill him, which is interesting because I think that actually was one of the early, like early on, Oja was going to be killed off a lot sooner in the show, and the character stuck around pretty much because of popularity, and the writers just loved him so much. And I think you can kind of tell because most of Oja's best stuff is early on, and later on, I think the writers kind of ran out of stuff for him to do, if you know what I mean. I like the character a lot. I like the actor that plays Oja, but I do think he probably would have been better served by being killed earlier and kind of giving somebody else a chance to shine. Because by the end of the show, I mean, it's almost ridiculous how he has, like, some kind of feud with everybody or some kind of connection. Like, the entire Ryuki universe centers around this one guy who, you know, killed this dude, or, you know, killed somebody's sister, or is, you know, was a client for this lawyer, broke this guy's arm. I mean, just crazy stuff, which is kind of funny, but I somehow don't think that was the original intent. And then Knight 2, I guess it's supposed to be Knight Survive. I don't know what the story is there, where they got their information, but that's pretty funny. Another one I remember is that Odin, that was kind of one of the first leaked pics that I remember anyway. It was like a really kind of blurry, poor quality photo of Odin, which I think I may still have, and if I can find it, I'll put it up along with this podcast. But I just remember his name was Kamen Rider Albatross with one S. Not two S's, just one. So it was Albatross. And that's what everybody called him, Kamen Rider Albatross. But and now this next one, this is one of my personal favorites. This was, I actually will name the guy who posted this, because it was a pseudonym, supposedly, or just a screen name, but he was called the 14th Rider, and he came out with a list of all 14, not 13, 14 riders in Kamen Rider Ryuki, and this was about the time that half of them had been revealed, so the list is half right. You know, he's got Ryuki, he's got Knight, Scissors, Zolda, who apparently was going to turn into another rider called Commander. So that's actually 15 riders. But Raya, Guy, and Oja. By this point, we'd found out his name is Oja. But then he lists all these other guys, and check these out. Kamen Rider Hawkeye, who would have an Indian-type contract monster, and would apparently be an old man. Now, I guess the reasoning here is, if you remember the Ryuki opening credit sequence, it shows like an old guy, a kid, a woman, and some other guy, and they're all holding up cards, and their eyes have been kind of scratched out with like squiggly lines, and the cards are covered, and you just see them like for a split second. And that was always, people took that to mean that, oh, there's going to be a kid rider and an old guy rider and stuff like that. So people, as soon as that opening credit sequence came out, the first episode aired, people were just like coming up with all these crazy theories about what kind of riders we're going to get and stuff like that. And of course, if you've seen Ryuki or know anything about Ryuki, you know that none of that is true. I mean, there is, one woman, but most of the riders are just guys, like in their 20s and 30s. Yeah, I guess you got alternative too, but there weren't any like senior citizen riders or kid riders or anything like that. Although in the year since, we've had some interesting things, but in Ryuki, yeah. And I always thought it was kind of weird why they kept it that way. Like they never changed the opening credit sequence even after all the riders have been revealed. I mean, I guess the idea was always supposed to be like anybody could be a rider, like I don't know, it's sort of weird. I don't know why they didn't update it, but I guess I can see why. It's just kind of interesting. But I mean, especially coming off of Kuga, which went through like what, three different opening credit sequences, and then Agito, which like had a huge change with the 24/7 version, that one, which again, had a couple scenes that I don't think were ever in the show, but yeah, that's pretty normal for opening credit sequences, I guess. Yeah, so Kamen Rider Hawkeye with his Indian monster. Then we got Kamen Rider Atlas, who would have a Bible type contract monster. I don't know what the heck the story is there, but yeah, Kamen Rider Atlas, that's a pretty cool name. This next one, now this is just like one of those coincidences, but it will make you smile. Kamen Rider Aqua, who is gonna be a woman and have a goldfish type monster, which is interesting. And then following that was Kamen Rider Sophia, who apparently was not a woman. Go figure. And this rider was going to introduce the Steel Vent, which is spelled Steel. So not like the Steel Vent in the show, and was going to have a Puppet Man monster with magnetic powers. So I guess it's Magnet States 10 years early? I don't know. Then we got Kamen Rider Yanma, who would have a dragonfly type monster, and that's pretty interesting because if you think about it, none of the riders in Ryuki have insect monster like contract monsters. They're all, mammals and sea creatures and things like that, but mythical creatures, reptiles, but yeah, no insects. Other than alternative, of course. He had it was supposed to be a cricket, I think. You'll be forgiven for not knowing that. Then we got Kamen Rider Native, who would introduce the Return Vent and have a totem pole monster with time powers. Yeah. And then lastly, we have Kamen Rider question mark, question mark, question mark, who would be Kanzaki. And presumably that is who turned out to be Odin, or Albatross, if you will. And actually, at this time, at this point, the name Ryuga was apparently known anyway. I don't know how, but this guy says, still unclear information about Kamen Rider Ryuga. It might be the final release name of Kamen Rider Hawkeye or the second form of Ryuki. It is said that Hawkeye is a prototype rider. And now this is pretty interesting, this stuff here. This is another post from the same guy. Kamen Rider Hawkeye is an old man. He was angry because his son was eaten by a monster and steals the prototype card of riders. After that, his mission is to destroy all vent holders. Maybe his son is the first owner of Vent Card Ryuki. Yeah, not quite sure what Vent Card Ryuki means, but I guess it means like his son is the was the original owner of the Ryuki deck, the poor guy we see in the Ryuki special who doesn't last very long. That whole idea though is kind of interesting because it sort of reminds me of Alternative. I mean, not quite, but just this idea of like the guy wanting to, just stop the rider war and stuff, and the whole prototype rider thing is not exactly alternative, but I can see how it might have been twisted into it. So I don't know. Like, I don't know if any of this had truth in reality or this guy was just making stuff up. And I do know there were some other crazy ones. Like, well, my uncle, who was a janitor at Toei, found this stuff in a dumpster. Crazy stuff like that. I mean, anybody, if you really try hard enough, you can make up a crazy story and post stuff, and it may or may not turn out to be true. Who knows? So with all the goofy rumors and the silly stuff, there is kind of like a dark side to all this that I wanted to touch upon. And it goes back to the whole thing of old fans versus new fans. And, now we really are lucky, I think, in that we have so many shows that are being subtitled. I mean, especially if you're a Rider fan, every show either has been or is being subtitled by somebody. So it's pretty good, and we're pretty well off. You have sites like Wikipedia or, fan sites and stuff like that, that there's that basically anything you want to know about Kamen Rider, just about, you can find, or you can ask somebody. You can ask me. Very easy to access information there. It's very easy to get information direct from the source, from like Japanese pages and stuff. You have people who are willing to take time out to translate things and share on forums and stuff like that. And I mean, it's really, we really are lucky in a lot of ways, because back then you did have that, but not to the extent that you do now. And I think it was a lot easier for certain people kind of to be the, or at least think that they were kind of their word was law, and listen to me because I'm a super fan or something like that. And this is kind of weird, because I mean, I know a lot of people consider me to be sort of like a Kamen Rider expert and a real like aficionado on things, which is very humbling actually, because that's just something that's kind of developed over time. I mean, when I first got online, I wasn't like, I'm going to be the master of all things Kamen Rider, bow down to me. It wasn't like that. I mean, I guess in my case, it really just comes about because of passion and sort of because of longevity anyway. Because, I mean, there's some people online now who I remember back from when I first got online. But like, by and large, I mean, the landscape has really changed. There are a lot of new people, and a lot of the people who were around when I was first posting on sites and stuff are a lot long gone, or moved on to other things or whatever. I mean, and that just happens, It even happens with people who got into it later. I mean, there's people who got into Kamen Rider like 5 years ago who probably aren't watching anymore. People who got into it last year, and maybe they're already starting to give it up. I don't know. I have stuck around this long, and I probably, if I can, will be around at least as long as I possibly can. So, yeah, but back then it was weird, because there were certain people that you really kind of valued the opinion of, maybe a little bit over others sometimes. It's tough. I mean, how do I say this? Like, one of the things that bothers me more than anything else is when somebody says something like, well, my opinion holds more weight, or my opinion means more, because blah 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 blah, like, because I've been watching the shows forever, or I've watched all these shows, or I know more than you, or something like that. And that's something that I've always really tried to avoid, because I realize that there are a lot of people who are Kamen Rider fans who haven't watched the old shows. Probably some of them won't ever get around to watching the old shows for whatever reason. To me, I mean, if like, if it's a simple matter of time, like, I like Kamen Rider, but I only have time to watch one show, so I'm gonna watch Forze, or I'll watch last year's show, or whatever. Oh, it was double. That I can understand. Or, let's say you want to watch all the Heisei series first, and you're going through them really slowly or whatever. I can understand that. I mean, basically, I can understand it if you just kind of say, I'm probably never going to get around to watching the old shows. That's fine. Because to me, we all like to kind of pretend that, oh, well, everybody has their own opinion, and we respect everyone's opinion, and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, sure, fine, whatever. But, when it really gets down to it, the people that you listen to the most, I think, or the people whose opinion you value the most, are the people who like the stuff you like. Like 9 times out of 10, if they like what you like, you'll probably value their opinion the highest. I mean, even if they don't like what you like, you might still listen to them, and you might be like, yeah, all right, that's fair. But as far as their opinion really mattering, I think if they like what you like, or you like some of the same things, then what they say will probably mean a bit more to you, I'd think. At least in my case, anyway, that's how I look at it. And for that reason, for me anyway, the people that I listen to the most, the people whose opinion I respect the most, it's not about how much you've watched, how many shows you've watched, or how long you've been watching, or how much merchandise you own, or whatever. It to me, it's always been about how much you like. And what I mean by that is, like, let's say somebody's been watching Tokusatsu for 10 years, and there's only really three shows that they like. I mean, the rest of the time they just complain, "Oh, I don't like Fights because of this. I don't like Kabuto because of this," whatever. And there's only like, a couple shows that they actually legitimately do like, and maybe not even that, As opposed to somebody who maybe just got into Tokusatsu last year, and they're like, "Well, I've watched, let's see, I watched a bit of Kuga, and I watched a bit of Double, and I watched some of Forze, and I went back and I tried a little bit of Black, and I watched a little bit of Amazon, and like I watched the first two episodes of the old, original series, and I like them all, but I think my favorite is Double." And that to me, like the opinion of that person, I'll probably value more highly than the guy who's watched every Rider series and only actually likes one. And that's not to say that you have to like every show. I mean, 'cause nobody does. But there's a certain extent, I think, to which you can complain about something. And that's kind of the whole crux of what I'm getting to with this Ryuki rant that I'm on right now is I think an important part of being a fan of anything, but especially, let's stick with just Tokusatsu and Kamen Rider for now, is you have to be willing to laugh at yourself sometimes over the stuff that you don't like. For example, Kamen Rider the Next is, I think, one of the worst movies I've ever seen, but at the same time, I can laugh at the fact that, the reasons I don't like it, for the most part, are completely because I'm just such a fanboy of V3. And of the original, I mean, and it's not to say that the movie doesn't have problems on its own. Beyond that, it does, but there's a lot of stuff in it that, the only reason I don't like it is because, well, I like how V3 did it better, or I like how the original show did it better, and I can laugh at that, and I can watch the next, and I can still have a good time because I, there are things about it that I do enjoy. And I can also laugh at myself over certain things, like over memories I have of, telling people stories or stuff like that. Like the famous, the hologram face scene, as I call it. It cracks me up, partly because it's so silly, but also because I've had so much fun describing that scene to people. Like I just remember telling my dad about it, and we just cracked up over it. But so, but at the same time, I mean, I can sit down and be like, "Yeah, let's watch Kamen Rider the Next." I mean, it's not like when that movie came out, I was like, "I never want to look at this again. It has completely destroyed my childhood." It's not like that. So that's what I mean, is that you have to be able to kind of laugh a bit at your own dislike of something. And that, I think, was kind of the problem that a lot of people had with Ryuki, was that they took themselves too seriously. And sometimes that really, really didn't reflect very well on Kamen Rider fans as a whole, I think, at least in some circles. Like, I'm just remembering a particular incident on one forum where this guy hated Ryuki so much. I mean, he was pretty much willing to just make stuff up, just to make it seem like the show was doing worse than it was. And I remember, like, a separate incident, but like there was a point during Ryuki where people were saying the show was going to end early, like the ratings were tanking, it wasn't doing very well. But to get back to this example that I remember, like this guy would just go off about like the toy sales and stuff. Like supposedly he was a toy seller or something, and he said that Ryuki items weren't selling, and the guys that I get my stuff from had like warehouses full of the junk and crazy stuff. At one point, I can't remember if it was the same guy or not, but I do remember one person saying that toy sales for Ryuki were so bad that Bandai was going to go bankrupt. Now just think about that for a minute. But yeah, basically, this guy really did not like Ryuki. He didn't like the show, and this carried over into, you know, reporting news about the show. Like, because he was one of those people that was in a position to inform others, to tell them, like, news and stuff like that. And, you know, he kind of, like, let his own personal bias get in the way sometimes. And the toy sale thing really kind of just sticks with me because a couple of years later, we actually found out about the numbers, like Bandai sales figures for the Rider series, at least going back to 1999. And pretty much until Decade and Double, Ryuki had the highest toy sales, like in 100 million yen units. I'm pretty sure if you go on to, at least I know the Japanese Wikipedia lists them. I'm not sure if the English one does, but actually, I think maybe if you go to Henshin Justice Unlimited, it's somewhere on the forum. And actually, I have the numbers right here in front of me, so I'll post them along with this episode. But yeah, Ryuki had the highest until 2009, basically. So there you go. You know, not exactly Bandai going out of business levels. So that's just what I mean, is that when it comes to the whole thing of, you know, who you should listen to and stuff like that online and with fans and stuff, you know, ultimately, I think you should always make up your own mind on stuff. You know, listen to other people, respect their opinions, stuff like that, but at the same time, discover things for yourself and watch things for yourself and form your own opinions on stuff. I know this sounds funny coming from me. You know, I'm like, I'm telling you guys, you know, think for yourselves. Don't listen to me. But you know, hopefully you know what I'm saying. You know, and it doesn't matter if you've been watching Tokusatsu all your life, or you own a bazillion DVDs, or you know, watched every show in reverse order or whatever. I mean, to me, it's always been about the passion. It's about how much you really love this stuff. And you know, how much of a sense of humor you're willing to have about your own hang-ups on things. Because as I often say, you know, I love all the Rider series to some degree. I mean, I have my favorites. I have the things about Kamen Rider that I would change or that I don't like as much. But at the end of the day, there's never been a Kamen Rider thing where I hated so much that I couldn't bear to look at it, or that I discounted it from the franchise, or you know, something silly like that. I mean, it's just life's too short to spend hating on a fictional TV show, you know. I mean, unless it's the Hanuman versus Fire Riders movie, you're welcome to hate that, you know, with the every ounce of hatred in your heart. But other than that, and that's not official, you know, that doesn't count. So it's a bootleg. But yeah, no, seriously, you know, just keep watching Kamen Rider and enjoying it. Keep watching other tokusatsu and enjoy it. You know, find what you can enjoy in it, because I think there's merit in everything. I mean, every show to some degree has something worth praising in it. There's no such thing as a completely worthless show in my mind. So yeah, when all is said and done, when Ryuki ended and Fi started up, I mean, I remember a lot of people being like, "Yeah, Kamen Rider's back now," you know, after this horrible gap year. But Fies, that's a whole nother can of worms there. Yeah, I like Fies, but you'll get a lot of people out there who won't. But you know, but when all is said and done, 10 years on, how does Ryuki hold up, basically? And like I said earlier, I think, you know, fan reaction has mellowed on a bit, and people have kind of just realized, well, it's another Rider series, and you know, there's some things about it that it does well, there are things that it doesn't do that well. In my personal opinion, I think it's a fun show. It's good. There's a lot of things about it that I kind of wish they'd done differently, and I don't want to get into Dragon Knight too much, although you can't talk about Ryuki without talking about Dragon Knight to an extent. But I do have to say, I've been watching Dragon Knight again lately, and you know, again, that's a whole other topic. But it does a lot of it corrects a lot of the things, a lot of the problems I had with Ryuki. But at the same time, there are things about Ryuki that I like better. So it's hard to, you know, say one over the other. But to get back to Ryuki itself, I mean, I thought it had a lot of cool ideas. I like the characters a lot. I love the designs, especially some of the more kind of the ones that are some of the more unpopular designs, actually. Like, Verde and Scissors are my favorite rider designs in the whole show. I think they're awesome. Because I think if you're going to do evil riders, you should make them look like monsters. And so that's what, to me, they really look like monsters. They don't look heroic at all, which is great. Yeah, I think you should do these kind of bizarre-looking asymmetrical characters as evil riders. Or Guy, he's another one I really like. I like them all, but I mean, those are some of my favorites. Odin, or Albatross, if you will. Yeah, I like the music a lot. I actually like the whole card theme. I think other shows have done it better. Like Blade really did the card thing the best, I think, and I actually kind of like the way Decade did it a little bit more. But for the first time, I thought it was interesting in Ryuki. The mirror world was a cool idea. I wish that the show had been a bit more about the mirror world. I mean, that was kind of the maybe that's sort of the thing with Ryuki for me, is that I really enjoy the first half, and then later on, once it starts becoming all about Yui, and it kind of goes from being this, a bit more sciencey, technological, science gone mad sort of storyline, to being a lot more fantastical with, the monsters are drawings, and there's this whole story with them as the kids and stuff like that. I mean, they alluded to that in the first half, but especially later on, it really kind of kicks into high gear. But so I liked it a little bit more early on, but I still enjoyed the end of the show and all that. I do prefer the movie ending to the TV ending, but that's just me. But yeah, I mean, overall, I think Ryuki was a pretty good show, and I don't think it was worth the complaints that it got. I mean, that sounds like I'm not critiquing the show there. I'm just saying that it what it did was not that bad. I mean, it was doing things differently. It was doing some interesting things, and I think really, if you stop and think about it, for all the baloney about how, oh, Ryuki changed what it means to be a Kamen Rider and stuff, I think actually Ryuki is pretty clever in that it really challenges you to think about who are the riders in this show, because it presents you with these 13, or slightly less than 13, but basically 13 guys, and says, which ones are the real riders? We have all these characters, we call them Kamen Rider, but are they really all riders? And it doesn't hit you over the head with that question, but I think it's there. And I think by the end of the show, you can kind of look at it and be like, yeah, Shinji, he was the rider of the show, and Ren. And I would say that Kitaoka, Zoldyne, I mean, he was an interesting character because I think they never took him as far as they could have. If it were up to me, I would have had Verde on the show, because I always thought Verde would have been perfect as, like, he would have been sort of the perfect counter argument to the character of Kitaoka, or like the almost like the dark version of him, because they were both these rich guys who were kind of using the fact, using their power to help with their angle as, riders and stuff like that. But I thought, the separating factor for them was the fact that Kitaoka had Goro, who was sort of his conscious, like almost a Jiminy Cricket character. Whereas Verde, I'm trying to remember his name now, Takemazawa, I think, he didn't have anybody. So he, to me, was always sort of like, he is the dark version of Zolda in a way. He is what Kitaoka could become if he didn't have somebody to tell him when to stop. And I would have loved to have seen them kind of like go at it. But of course, we have to have Asakura get in the way of everything. So yeah, that's probably maybe my biggest regret of the show, is that Scissors wasn't around long enough and Verde wasn't on the show. But yeah. But yeah, when all is said and done, I enjoyed Ryuki a lot, and I think it's held up really well. I think if you haven't watched it and you're listening to this podcast, I apologize for like spoiling everything in the show, but I did kind of warn you, so yeah, be it on your own head. But if you haven't watched Ryuki, or you're watching Ryuki, or interested in watching Ryuki, I'd give it a shot. I mean, it's an interesting show, because it certainly did influence Kamen Rider for the next couple of years anyway, in terms of, we're gonna have riders fighting each other, and we're gonna have this kind of gimmick. I mean, Kamen Rider's always had a gimmick, but especially with Ryuki, Yeah, the cards, the advent cards. And the talking belts came in with Fives, really, but it sort of started with Ryuki. You had the talking visors that, led to it. Contract monsters, that was an interesting idea. Yeah, but give Ryuki a watch. I think it's a good show, and 10 years on, I think it holds up pretty well, and it's a fun ride. And watch Dragon Knight too. I really enjoy Dragon Knight, but like I said, that's got to be another podcast, I think, because it's its own thing to me. I mean, it's very much tied into Ryuki, but at the same time, it is really kind of remarkable how they took Ryuki and completely changed things, and it feels the same, but it feels completely different. I mean, there's nothing quite like it, but it's a good one too. Yeah, so that pretty much wraps it up for this episode of Rider Break. I'm really sorry that this was supposed to be a Ryuki overview retrospective, and it really just kind of turned into me ranting about, silly old people from 2002, but there it is. I guess, yeah, the point that I've been trying to get to this whole time is that it really influenced how I am as a Rider fan, I guess, in terms of, because I saw so much, struggle between old fans and new fans and arguments and people making stuff up and, stuff like that. And I really liked Ryuki when it was on. I guess in a weird way, I feel like Shinji. Like, I just wanted the fighting to stop, and I don't know. Yeah, it really influenced how I am, I think, as a fan, and that you got to listen to people, and you got to accept people, and the same thing with shows. You got to give shows a chance and accept how they do things, and accept when they try to be different. Because every good show should try to be different in some way. I mean, Kamen Rider, since the beginning, has always tried to do things differently than the show before it. I mean, some people say, oh, the old shows were all the same. That's a load of nonsense. I mean, really, when you get down to it, no, they weren't. They really weren't. They have consistent elements, sure. That I think you have to have in a franchise, but every show is unique in some way. And does things differently, and has, brings a unique perspective. Kamen Rider's always been about reinventing itself every year. I think almost all the big, franchises anyway have done that. Sentai, Ultraman, in different ways. Kamen Rider, just that's my thing, so that's the one I talk about the most. But there you go. Yeah, all right. So I've probably now rambled on longer than I should have, but that's my kind of retrospective on Kamen Rider Ryuki for you. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.「かき消すよ」